You are listening to the life of Jesus Christ in a year, from the visions of Anne Catherine Emmerich from TAN. I'm Father Edward Looney, and each day I will be reading and offering commentary to guide you through Anne Catherine Emmerich's magnificent mystical revelations. In addition to listening, you can follow along with the four-volume hardcover set of The Life of Jesus Christ and Biblical Revelations available from TAN. Before we get to today's reading, though, let us ask the intercession of our venerable author. O blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, devout and pious follower of Christ, who patiently endured the frailty of this mortal condition, who humbly received the honorable marks of Christ Jesus on your hands, feet, side, head, and chest, the marks which you are blessed by the Lord to witness for yourself in his own sufferings, we graciously ask for your intercession with God, that we sinners may be forgiven of our sins and be drawn more completely into spiritual communion with Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We ask this in the name of the most holy Lamb of God, through the intercession of Holy Mary, our Mother. Amen. Today is day 4, and in this episode, we will continue reading from Volume 1, Chapter 2 of the section Sin and Its Consequences. Let's begin with today's reading. 2. The Promise of the Redeemer. After the fall of man, God made known to the angels his plan for the restoration of the human race. I saw the throne of God. I saw the most holy Trinity and a movement of the divine persons. I saw the 9 choirs of angels and God announcing to them the way by which he would restore the fallen race. I saw the inexpressible joy and jubilation of the angels at the announcement. I saw Adam's glittering rock of precious stones arise before the throne of God, as if borne up by angels. It had steps cut in it. It increased in size. It became a throne, a tower, and it extended on all sides until it embraced all things. I saw the 9 choirs of angels around it, and above the angels in heaven I saw the image of the Virgin. It was not Mary in time. It was Mary in eternity, Mary in God. The Virgin entered the tower, which opened to receive her, and she appeared to become one with it. Then I saw, issuing from the Most Holy Trinity, an apparition, which likewise went into the tower. Among the angels, I noticed a kind of ostensorium, at which all were working. It was in shape like a tower, and on it were all kinds of mysterious carving. Near it, on either side, stood 2 figures, their joined hands embracing it. At every instant, it became larger and more magnificent. I saw something from God passing through the angelic choirs and going into the ostensorium. It was a shining, holy thing, and it became more clearly defined the nearer it drew to the ostensorium. It appeared to me to be the germ of the divine blessing for a pure offspring which had been given to Adam, but withdrawn when he was on the point of hearkening to Eve and consenting to eat the forbidden fruit. It was the blessing that was again bestowed upon Abraham, withdrawn from Jacob by Moses, deposited in the Ark of the Covenant, and lastly received by Joachim, the father of Mary, in order that Mary might be as pure and stainless in her conception, as was Eve, upon coming forth from the side of the sleeping Adam. The ostensorium likewise went into the tower. I saw, too, a chalice prepared by the angels. It was of the same shape as that used at the Last Supper, and it also went into the tower. To the right of the tower, I saw, as if on the edge of a golden cloud, grapevines and wheat intertwining like the fingers of clasped hands. From them sprang a branch, a whole genealogical tree, upon whose boughs were little figures of males and females reaching hands to one another. Its highest blossom was the crib with the child. Then I saw in pictures the mystery of redemption, from the promise down to the fullness of time. And inside pictures, I saw counteracting influences at work. At last, over the shining rock, I saw a large and magnificent church. It was the one holy Catholic church, which bears living and in itself the salvation of the whole world. The connection of these pictures, one with another, and their translation from one to another was wonderful. Even what was evil and opposed to the end in view, even what was rejected by the angels as unfit, was made subservient to the development of redemption. And so I saw the ancient temple rising from below. It was very large and like a church, but it had no tower. It was pushed to one side by the angels, and there it stood slanting. I saw a great mussel shell make its appearance and try to force its way into the old temple, but it too was hurried aside. I saw appear a broad, lopped-off tower, through whose numerous gateways figures like Abraham and the children of Israel entered. It was significant of their bondage in Egypt. It was shoved aside, as well as another Egyptian tower in staircase form. The latter was symbolical of astrology and soothsaying. Then appeared an Egyptian temple. It was pushed aside like the others and remained standing crooked. At last, I saw a vision on earth, such as God had shown to Adam, vis-a-vis that a virgin would arise and restore to him the salvation he had forfeited. Adam knew not when it would take place, and I saw his deep sadness, because Eve bore him only sons. But at last, she had a daughter. I saw Noah and his sacrifice at the time in which he received from God the blessing. Then I had visions of Abraham, of his blessing, and of the promise of a son Isaac. I saw the blessing descending from the firstborn to firstborn, and always transmitted with a sacramental action. I saw Moses on the night of Israel's departure from Egypt, getting possession of the mystery, the holy thing, of which none other knew save Aaron. I saw it afterward in the Ark of the Covenant. Only the high priests and certain saints, by a revelation from God, had any knowledge of it. I saw the transmitting of this mystery through the ancestry of Jesus Christ down to Joachim and Anne, the purest and holiest couple that ever existed, and from whom was born Mary, the spotless virgin. And then I saw Mary become the living ark of God's covenant. 3. Adam and Eve driven from paradise. After some time, I saw Adam and Eve wandering about in great distress. They were no longer beaming with light, and they went about one here, the other there, as if seeking something they had lost. They were ashamed of each other. Every step they took led them downward, as if the ground gave way beneath their feet. They carried gloom wherever they went. The plants lost their bright colors and turned gray, and the animals fled before them. They sought large leaves and wove them into a cincture for their loins. They always wandered about separate. After they had thus fled for a considerable time, the region of the refulgent light whence they had come began to look like the summit of a distant mountain. Among the bushes of a gloomy-looking plain, they hid themselves, but apart. Then a voice from above called them, but they would not obey the call. They were frightened. They fled still further and hid still deeper among the bushes. It made me sad to see that. But the voice became more imperative, and in spite of their desire to flee and hide, they were compelled to come forth. The majestic figure, shining with light, again appeared. Adam and Eve, with bowed heads, stepped from their hiding places, but they dared not look upon their Lord. They glanced at each other and both acknowledged their guilt, and now God pointed out to them a plane still lower than the one on which they stood. On it were bushes and trees. On reaching it, they became humble, and for the first time rightly understood their miserable condition. I saw them praying when left there alone. They separated, fell on their knees, and raised up their hands with tears and cries. I thought as I gazed upon them, how good it is to be alone in prayer. Adam and Eve were at this time clothed in a garment that reached from the shoulders to the knee, and which was girded at the waist by a strip of the inner bark of a tree. While our first parents were descending lower and lower from the place of their creation, paradise itself appeared like a cloud to be mounting higher and higher above them. Then a fiery ring like the circle, sometimes seen around the sun and moon, came down from heaven and settled around the height upon which was paradise. Adam and Eve had been only one day in paradise. I now see paradise far, far off, like a strip of land, directly under the point of sunrise. When the sun rises, it mounts up from the right of that strip of land, which lies east of the Prophet Mountain. And just where the sun rises, it looks to me like an egg hanging over indescribably clear water, which separates it from the earth. The Prophet Mountain is, as it were, a promontory rising up through that water. On that mountain, one sees extraordinarily verdant regions broken here and there by deep abysses and ravines full of water. I have indeed seen people climbing up the Prophet Mountain, but they did not go far. I saw Adam and Eve reach the earth, their place of penance. Oh, what a touching sight, those two creatures expiating their fault upon the naked earth. Adam had been allowed to bring an olive branch with him from paradise, and now he planted it. Later on, the cross was made from its wood. Adam and Eve were unspeakably sad. Where I saw them, they could scarcely get a glimpse of paradise. They were constantly descending lower and lower. It seemed as if something revoked, and they came at last, through night and darkness, to the wretched, miserable place upon which they had to do penance. Well, this concludes our reading today, in which we read chapters 2 and 3 from the section Sin and Its Consequences. We focus on the promise of the Redeemer, number 2, and number 3, Adam and Eve driven from paradise. One of the things that intrigues me is that Anne Catherine Emmerich sees these things. She says, I saw the throne of God. I saw the Most Holy Trinity and a movement in the divine persons. I saw the 9 choirs of angels. So she sees these things. God has granted her this vision. And so she's seeing them at her time when she's living, and God is allowing her to see these things perhaps way in the past. And so on earth, she's getting a glimpse of the eternal, and the eternal is outside of time. But just a marvel, all the things that she shares that she saw. And then she said she saw a large and magnificent church. It was the one holy Catholic church, which bears living in itself the salvation of the whole world. So she sees the church even as God grants her these visions. In chapter 3, in the section of Sin and Its Consequences, Adam and Eve driven from paradise. There's a lot here. We know that after they took that fruit of the tree, sin and darkness enter into the world. But notice the effect that sin has. They carried gloom wherever they went. The plants lost their bright colors and turned gray, and the animals fled before them. They sought large leaves and wove them into a cincture for their loins. They always wandered about separate. But everything in creation was supposed to get along. You know, when I am out deer hunting, for example, here I am in a stand, and any little bit of noise from me, the deer will run. But in the beginning of creation, it seems that the animals wouldn't have ran away, and they only began running away because of sin. Because now there's chaos, and they realize and sense this chaos themselves. I think, too, the reaction of Anne Catherine Emmerich in these readings, it's quite beautiful. It shows the beauty of her soul. It made me sad to see that. So God calls out to them, and Adam and Eve, they hide. And she says, it made me sad to see that. So this inner experience that she's having these visions, and even these visions, they cause consternation deep within her. Because she doesn't want people to be separated from God. She wants people to seek out God. And then when Adam and Eve were praying, she says, I thought as I gazed upon them, how good it is to be alone in prayer. Well, that's a true statement for all of us. How good it is for us to be alone in prayer. For us to pray to the Lord God. For us to adore him in the Blessed Sacrament. For us to raise our voices in prayer, in supplication, and perhaps in song, in praise as well. So we pray, just as Adam and Eve prayed. Adam and Eve, they were separated from God. This is a chapter of them being driven from paradise. They're separated from God by their sin, but yet they still prayed. We are sinners. We have sinned. We sin every day. Word, action, thoughts, things we do, things we failed to do. But even when we sin, we never should relent in praying, of raising our voices to God, crying out for his help, crying out for his mercy. This brings us to an end of our reading and reflection for today. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for email notifications at emmerichpodcast.com and use coupon code ACE25 for 25% off your next order at tanbooks.com. I hope you'll join us next time as we continue meditating on the life of Jesus Christ and biblical revelation with the help of Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich. Until then, may God bless you and Mary pray for you.